Man, that's really some good news for us to be able to confess together this morning. And we're gonna get into some truth this morning. That's kind of backed up by that passage, by that song. And so I want us to kind of get into that. But if you are here this morning and you're joining us for the first time, we have been for the past several weeks. We've been in the Psalm 139, going through this psalm and talking about what it means, what truths that psalm might have for you and I. And specifically, we've been talking about what it means to be known by God, and so which is a whole lot about what that song was singing. So last week, we talked about how God knows us. Last week, we talked about how God is with us, how even in the darkest places that we might find ourselves, we don't go there alone. And this week, what we're going to talk about, I'm super excited about, because I believe that there are many folks who are here this morning who this message, the truths that we're going to be digging into today, are things that you need to hear. I remember a few years ago, I was in Chicago, Illinois, and we happened to be there like on a Tuesday night, and so they have like free museum night on Tuesday nights in Chicago. They used to, and so you could go to all these awesome museums in Chicago. And you could go for free after like 4 o'clock. And so we went to the art museum in Chicago. And I remember just walking around in the art museum. All these amazing, beautiful works of art were displayed in there. But I don't know if you've ever been in an art museum. It's amazing. Like, you don't go into an art museum and then and go running down the halls going, "Woo! This is so fun." You know what I mean? You don't do that. You're like, when you're in an art museum and you're walking around, it's amazing. Like, people will even be whispering to each other in the art museum. And I wondered when I was in there, why do people act like this? But then as I was going around and I was looking at all these amazing pieces of art, I kind of found myself, you know, doing that same thing, like just kind of whispering to the people next to me and talking about the art, or sometimes just not even talking to anybody, just kind of standing there and taking all of it in. And I think, this is just my personal take, I think the reason why we do that is because sometimes when you're in the presence of an amazing masterpiece work of art, there's a reverence that kind of comes over you. There's this kind of awe that happens when you're in the presence of an amazing masterpiece, you know? And that feeling is the sort of feeling that the psalmist is trying to get at in the passage that we're going to be reading today. So if you would, open up your Bibles to Psalm 139. We're going to start reading this morning in verse 13. But before we get started reading this morning, I want for us to pray together, okay? So would you just pray with me? Father, I just want to thank you that your Holy Spirit is in this place. God, none of us is here by accident. You have brought each and every one of us here because you have something that you want to say to us. And so, Lord, we just want to open up our hearts to you. We want to allow you to speak to us, to reveal to us the places in our hearts that, well, we need a touch from you. We need healing from you. And so right now, before we do anything else, we submit, we surrender to you, God. And I just pray for myself. Lord, I pray that every word that comes out of my mouth will bring glory and honor to you, that your truths will be communicated here this morning, not mine. I don't have anything to say, but you do. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So look with me, if you would, Psalm 139, beginning with verse 13. This is what it says in verse 13. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. And so there are several truths that we're going to get out of this passage of Scripture today that I want us to kind of focus on. The first one is this. When we're experiencing all that we've been talking about the presence of God with us, the power of God with us, how he knows us and is with us even in our darkest circumstances, then the question might come to us, how are we supposed to respond to a God who knows us intimately like that, who knows us completely like that, and who's with us at all times? How do we respond to a God like that, okay? And there are some truths from this passage that guide us on how we're supposed to respond. The first thing that we got to do when we come into the presence of Almighty God, we understand who he is and what he is for us, right? The first thing that we have to do is acknowledge the artist, right? In that passage of scripture, the psalmist says, you knit me together. You knit the delicate inner parts of my body. You knit me together in my mother's womb. And all of that is craftsman language. It's artist language. The tiny, delicate, fragile parts of me, you put all of me together. And so there's a couple of things that I need for you to hear this morning. And these are really important things. And I know that there are people in this place this morning who you struggle with this, okay? But I need you to hear a couple of things. The first thing is this. Every single part of you is exactly as God planned it. I need you to hear that. Anybody here ever like look in the mirror in the morning and just notice everything that you think is wrong with you? Anybody have that experience? I feel like every day, and maybe this is just a function of where I am in my life right now, I feel like every day I'm noticing new wrinkles, you know, somewhere on my body. And it's, frankly, quite discouraging, okay? Sometimes as I look in the mirror as I'm brushing my teeth, and I wish I could look away. That's what I want to do. What I want is to not see what I'm seeing in the mirror. And I know that you guys, you look at me every Sunday, and you're like, that's no surprise, Brad. I can't believe it's taking you this long to figure that out. But the fact of the matter is that there are many times whenever I see myself, and I don't know about you, but I tend to see my flaws. I tend to see what I think is wrong with me maybe more than other people do. Like they seem really, the flaws that I feel like I have and the flaws that I see when I look at myself in the mirror, they seem super exaggerated. And so sometimes I'll ask Amy, I'll be like, Amy, do you see this? And she's like, no, I don't see that. What are you even talking about? Because those things are much bigger in my mind and in my vision than sometimes they really are in anybody else's mind or anybody else's vision. Did any of you guys have that experience? I know that there's someone here, and we laugh about it. We can laugh about it. I can make jokes about that, but I know that there are people here with us this morning, and that experience that you have every time that you look at yourself in the mirror in the morning, that experience is actually crippling for you. It's debilitating for you. Your brain can't get around all of the things that you feel like are wrong with you. We get all the way down into the minutiae when we're thinking about how we don't measure up. And here's what we've got to remember, and I believe the Lord wants for us to hear. God, the artist, has carefully formed each and every part of us. There's a kind of painting called Impressionism. You guys know about this? So basically, Rembrandt is probably the most famous, you know, practitioner. But basically what the artist does is they take their paintbrush with a fine point and they create a painting by making little tiny dots. So millions of little tiny dots with their paintbrush that eventually form this amazing painting. And what I need for you to know is that each tiny pinpoint of his divine paintbrush in your life comes together to form a masterful whole. Every part of you, everything, is something that he's using to construct a beautiful masterpiece. And not only that, but each one of us individuals is also part of this massive tapestry that God is weaving together in all of creation. And so even though each one of us is a masterpiece, as the psalmist tells us, every single delicate part of my body, you put it together, right? Even though each one of us is a masterpiece in that respect, that we're all part of an amazing, beautiful, breathtaking masterpiece that God is creating in all of creation. That's what's going on. And I want you to hear that. Sometimes it's like it's physical flaws, you know. Sometimes I look in the mirror and I think, why don't I have hair? It's very discouraging, you know. But sometimes it's more than that, right? Sometimes it's, you know, why do I laugh like that? Why do I make that weird sound when I laugh, right? Sometimes it's why do I keep doing this thing that harms me and harms other people? Why do I keep doing it over and over again? Why do I find myself trapped in this cycle of self-destructive behavior? Why do I let down the people that I love? Why do I feel like I'm not enough ever? Like I don't measure up ever? And I know that many of us are struggling with that today. And I believe step one, if we're to move toward healing, if we're to move toward being the people that God has created us to be, we have to first remember that God intimately knows every part of us, and he created us as we are because he loves us and because he thinks we're beautiful. We're not finished, right? He's still doing stuff. He's still shaping us and forming us and making us into what he wants us to be. But he didn't make an accident. He didn't mess up whenever he created you, whenever he formed you. Here's the second truth. God has been shaping us, fashioning us since before the beginning. That's what the psalmist says. In my mother's womb, you knit me together in my mother's womb. And we've talked about what a comfort it is to know that there's nowhere that we can go to escape the presence of God. But listen, there's also never been a time in our lives when God was not intimately involved in creating us. Do you realize that? There's never been a moment when God was not intimately involved in creating us. He started with a blank canvas and he painted something beautiful. He is painting something beautiful. That's who God is. And I want you to hear that all the way since before you were even born, before you were even imagined, right? The Lord God was dreaming you up. He was creating you from that point. And here's the thing, like the psalmist had no idea. People in that day had no idea what went on actually inside of a woman's body when she was pregnant. The psalmist had no idea, right? The person who wrote this psalm was probably a man, so he had less than no idea, right? The only time that he could even experience or know what was going on is when the baby was born. And still, he acknowledges that there's this amazing process that's going on before we are born into the world. There's this mystical, beautiful, miraculous process that's happening before we're ever born, where God is putting us together and God is creating us. That process begins before we're ever born, and it continues on into eternity. It's this beautiful thing that the Lord God is doing. The psalmist recognizes that whatever is going on in there, he's like, I don't know what it is, but whatever is going on in there is the work of Almighty God. And that's important for you and I to know. God began to work on us, to create us, to shape us, to form us before we were even born. And I got to be honest with you. Like, this is why for those of us who claim the name of Christ, this is why abortion is such a big deal to us. Because we believe that Almighty God was doing a miraculous creative work on us before we were ever born. That his creative work started long before we were ever even conceived. God was doing something beautiful. And because we love God and revere God, because we understand that God's work is so powerful and important, and we don't want to be a part of trying to undo anything that the Lord God is doing, because it's so precious to us, the work of the Lord God, right? That's why we're so passionate about babies that God is forming in their mother's womb. And so it's really important for us to remember the work of Almighty God in our lives. I mean, there are moments in our lives when we can more clearly see God's presence and God's work in the world than at other times. There are times where it feels like the veil between the world of spirit and the world, the material world that we're living in right now, there are moments where it feels like that veil is thinner, you know, or it feels like almost like we can see into the glory of God's kingdom. There are moments like that. And I'm just telling you, I'm just telling you that that conception and pregnancy and birth, those are some of those moments. I don't think I've ever been blown away by the artistry of God any more than when I held my babies for the first time. And I need you to know that that's what God has been doing in your life. You're not an accident of nature. You're not the sum of someone's choices. You're the masterful work of Almighty God. He started on that work long before you were ever even imagined or conceived. And I need you to hear that. Because I know there are folks here this morning who you struggle with that. You struggle with believing that. You feel like you were an accident or an afterthought. You feel like a mistake. Maybe you've even been told that by someone in your life. It's not true. Friends, it's a lie. The truth is that God knit you together in your mother's womb. I want to say something else to you too. This is important. I recently listened to a podcast, and it told the story of this guy. So this guy, when he was in high school, he used to kind of amuse his friends by doing accents. And as a guy who loves to do different accents myself, the people in my Bible study group that meet on Thursday night, they are sick of my N.T. Wright impersonation, my British accent. They're all sick of it, okay, because I do it all the time, okay? I love to do that. So I resonated with this story because this guy, he would do them all the time. There was one that he was really good at. He is an African-American man, and he was really good at doing like an African, like a Nigerian accent. And so he would do it all the time with his friends. They thought it was hilarious. Well, when he went to college, one of his friends dared him to spend like the first couple of days at college pretending like he was from, you know, some Central African country, and to speak in this accent for the first couple of days. And so on a dare, right, because his friend dared him, and I can totally relate to this, when people dare me to do stuff, I feel like I have to do it. I once drank a cup of Wesson oil because my brother-in-law dared me to do it. I don't recommend that, okay, but I'm just saying that's what I did. And they dared him to do it, and because he'd been dared, he did it. He spent the first couple of days pretending like he was an immigrant from some Central African country, and he was speaking in this accent, and he couldn't believe it. It fooled everyone. And so then he just kept doing it. And before he knew it, he was several weeks into the semester, and everybody thought that he was from some other country. So then on Parents Weekend, when his parents came, he couldn't introduce them to any of his friends. He was lying to them the whole time and taking them all to these places where they wouldn't run into anybody that he knew, right? Because he didn't want his secret to get out. His whole first year in college, everybody who knew him assumed that he was from this African country. And the truth is that it weighed on him. It tore him up because he was pretending to be somebody that he wasn't. And that's how he was living his life, pretending to be somebody that he wasn't. And I need for you to hear this. Because there are some people in this room today, and that's exactly what you were doing. You're the work of Almighty God, the craftsmanship of Almighty God. You were knit together in your mother's womb. God has a purpose and a dream and a plan for you. He created you to be somebody, but you were spending your time pretending like you were someone else. And there's particularly some young people in this room, some teenagers, right? And that is right where you are. That is right where you were living. You are trying to fool everyone. You are trying to get them to think that you are someone that you frankly are not. And some of you are so confused. Some of you are so confused that you think the person you actually are is the person who's engaged in all this self-destructive behavior, the person who hurts other people, the person who demeans and puts down other folks. You think the person that you actually are is this person who does all of these things that you know that you shouldn't do, you know are harmful for yourself and those people around you. You think that's who you are. And I need you to know that is not who you are according to the Word of God. Our God has created you to be His child, to put His name on you, to cause His Spirit to dwell in you. That's who you are. I sat with a group of seniors one time on a mission trip to New Orleans. We have been in the ninth ward in New Orleans, and we've been repairing houses that have been destroyed by Katrina less than a year after the hurricane. And I sat with a group of seniors on our last day, and one of those seniors said to me, they're like, Brad, she was like, Brad, I don't know what to do. I'm worried. I'm worried that when I go back home, you know, when I go back home, I'm just this who I've been pretending to be this week. When I go back home, I'll just settle back into who I really am. And I'm worried that that's going to happen. And I told her, I said, Katie, this is who you are. This is who you are. God has pulled back the veil for you this week, and he's revealed to you that you are a young woman who loves him, who cares about people around her, who wants to spend her life serving others and serving God. This is who you are. That other person that you are when you're at school or when you're with your friends on a Thursday night, right? That other person that you are, that's a lie. That's a lie. It's not you. And the truth is, everyone knows it. You're trying to pretend. You're trying to fool everybody, but they all know that you're living a lie. It's time to give it up. It's time to lay it down. It's time to become who God has created you to be who you are. Stop trying to fake it. And so many of us, man, that's what we're doing, even adults. It's wearing you out. You're exhausted. And I just want you to know that the God, our God who loves you so much, who knit you together in your mother's womb, not only has he created you to be somebody, he will empower you to be somebody. Do you hear me? You don't even have to do it in your own strength. When we surrender ourselves to Almighty God, he does it in us. He does it through us. Please hear me. So it's time for us to just acknowledge the artist. Who made you? Who made you? Almighty God made you. Maybe he knows best who you should be. Psalm 139:14. Listen to this. Verse 14. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. My favorite youth camp story, my first year being a youth minister, I took a group to Glorieta, New Mexico for camp, and there was a kid on the trip with me. His name is Kevin Cox, and Kevin was kind of like the star football player. You know what I'm talking about. He was, you know, kind of the star athlete, the good-looking dude that all the girls liked. He was a lot like me. There was a lot, so much similar. And anyway, one day we were headed to the cafeteria to eat, and Kevin was late to everything. God love him. He didn't show up anything on time. Everybody was gone. They were down at the cafeteria. And so I was looking for Kevin because he wasn't where he was supposed to be. So I went into the bathroom to see if he was in there. And when you walked to the bathroom, there was like a partition right here. And then the mirror was over here, right? The mirror with the sinks was kind of over here. So like I could see Kevin's reflection in the mirror, but he couldn't see me. And so I opened the door, and Kevin was standing there, and I kid you not, this is what was happening, okay? He was standing in the bathroom with his shirt off, looking at himself in the mirror, and this is what he said. He goes like this, he goes, Lord, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. That's what he said. And I fell on the floor laughing, and he was so embarrassed. And if I pray to God that he realizes that he knows one day that I tell this story about him all the time, because that's my favorite moment as a youth minister. It was amazing. And I'm not telling you, like God has, over the course of years, has really brought Kevin's ego into check. Praise be unto him. But so I'm not telling you to be like that, but I am telling you that you are a miracle. I am telling you that you are God's marvelous workmanship. The psalmist, I praise you for making me so wonderfully. Your workmanship is marvelous, he says. And then he says this, how well I know it. Do you know it? Do you know that you're a miracle? Like, do you know that you are God's marvelous workmanship? Do you realize that that's who you are, that God, that's what God has done in you? Do you know it? I mean, the Lord God wants you to know that this morning, friends. You know what I hate? Critics. Let me tell you what I mean by that. Like, I hate, like, I hate like art critics and movie critics. You know what I'm talking about? Some of my favorite movies, some of the best movies I've ever seen. You'll read some critic's review of it, and they're like, "Well, this is wrong with it, and this is wrong with it." And I really just feel like they didn't get the atmosphere right, or these camera shots were weird, or whatever else. I'm like, "Did you not see that movie? It was amazing. I enjoyed that movie. I loved it." I feel like critics are just like bitter people. That's sometimes what I wonder. I feel like that maybe you're just bitter all the time because it feels like you couldn't enjoy anything. Like every time you go to the movie, you'd be like, "Well, I don't know about that shot." You know what I mean? But here's the deal. Some of us, here's what I want. I don't want for you to be the snobby art critic in your life. I don't want for you to be the person who every time you look at anything that you do or anything that you're participating in, every time you look at yourself at all in any way, I don't want for you to be, "Well, it's all good, but this is wrong and that's wrong and this is wrong." Stop being that. Can we not just enjoy what God has done in us? Can we not just appreciate what God has made? Can we not just be amazed at who God is? And let me tell you this too. Every person that you come into contact with is God's masterpiece. Do you know that? Like, do you know that all around us are people that God is working on, that he's doing work in, that he has created in their mother's womb? And how crazy is it of us? How arrogant is it of us to walk around criticizing people around us who are made in the image of God? Stop being the snobby critic. Can we not just be amazed at who God is and at what he's done and the way he's at work in the lives of people around us? Can we not just do that? Acknowledge the artist, y'all. Be amazed. And then lastly, verse 15, check this out. In verse 15, it says, "You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb." I mean, all of us sometimes feel like we're invisible. I mean, I feel like all of us have been through a phase in our lives where we feel like nobody really sees us. But what the psalmist wants us to know is that God has been watching us since before we were born. His eyes have been on us. Man, when Carson and Sadie were babies, when you have a new baby in the house, those of you who are not parents yet, you're gonna understand this one day, I promise. But sometimes, like in the middle of the night, you just come up out of your sleep, like startled, and you have to run into the nursery where your babies are, just so you can check on them and make sure they're breathing. I don't know that Amy slept for the first 2 years of Carson's life, you know, because she was getting up all the time, just checking. Right? You have those moments. But can I also just tell you, like, those are some of the most beautiful moments. Like, I loved to just stand there and watch my baby sleep. And their tiny little breaths coming in and out. And their peaceful faces. It's the most beautiful thing in the world. And sometimes I would find myself just standing there for who knows how long, just watching them sleep. Because I loved them so much. I was so blown away by how beautiful and perfect they were. I'm not going to lie to you. Sometimes, I only have one kid still at home, but sometimes I'll still walk in there and I'll just watch my Sadie sleep. Because she's so perfect. And I just want you to know that that's what the psalmist is talking about here. God's eyes are on you before you were born. He's watching you out of this sense of just overwhelming love for you. He's so crazy about you. He just enjoys watching you. You're not invisible to him. He's always seen you. Verse 16, check this out. Verse 16, "You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed." So we've been talking all this time about how beautiful, right? How beautiful we are, how we're masterpieces. God has created us to be masterpieces. But I want to show you a picture. This is the Golden Gate Bridge. Look at that. Isn't that beautiful? It's probably the only beautiful thing about San Francisco. Isn't it amazing though? Look at that with the mist, right? And this beautiful bridge coming out of there. It's beautiful, man. It's iconic. But it's not just beautiful to look at. It actually serves an important purpose. Like people drive back and forth across that. It's an important thoroughfare. It's beautiful, but it has a purpose. It does something. And friends, that's who you were created to be as well. Yes, you're God's masterpiece. Yes, yes, he has knit you together and formed all the delicate parts of your body, but he's done it because there's something he wants to accomplish through you. And so the last thing we're supposed to do, acknowledge the artist, be amazed, but live on purpose. You have a purpose that God has ordained for you in your life. This passage is not talking about some kind of mindless fatalism. Like, God knows everything that's going to happen in my life, and it's all decided, and I have no real part to play in it. That's not what this passage is talking about. This passage is saying that God created you to do something. He created you for a purpose. Your life is supposed to have meaning. And yes, God knows how everything ends up. He's not surprised by anything that you do. And so what that means for you and I today is that our terrible mistakes that we've made, the terrible mistake that you've made this week, God was like, whoop, I didn't see that coming. The Lord God knew that was going to happen. He knew you were going to struggle with that. And he's still at work in your life doing something beautiful. You have not derailed God's work. Do you hear me? Listen. You have not derailed the work of God in your life. No matter what you've done, no matter how far you've fallen, no matter where you find yourself this morning, God is still at work doing something beautiful in your life. You've not messed him up. You can't mess him up, friend. And I need you to hear that this morning. Be encouraged. Allow the artist to continue to shape you into the masterpiece that he's created you to be. You know what an artist does with a work of art that they create? Do you know what they do? They put their name on it. They sign it. They finish creating this amazing work. They want everyone to know they created it, so they put their name on it. I need you to hear something this morning. That's exactly what God wants to do in your life. The Lord God wants to sign his name to you. He wants to place his name on you. That's what Scripture tells us over and over again. That also means he wants to cause his Spirit to dwell in you. And so listen, if you're here this morning and you wonder, you think of yourself as a failure, you think of yourself as a mistake, you wonder, what could I ever accomplish? I'm such a dumpster fire right now. Like, if that's where you're living, I need you to know that God loves you. He created you for a purpose. He delicately formed every part of you. He wants to use you, and he wants for you to bear his name. You want to know how much? Do you want to know how much God loves you? Do you want to know how much God desires to fill you with his Spirit, to cause his name to dwell on you? Do you want to know how important you are as a work of art in his eyes? He allowed his body to be broken for you. That's how much. You want to know how much the Lord God loves you, how much he dreams about what you might accomplish in this world? You want to know how beautiful you are to the Lord God? He allowed his blood to be spilled for you. And it's time for us to stop pretending that we're someone else. It's time for us to acknowledge the work that Almighty God has done in our lives and on our behalf. And it's time for us to surrender ourselves to him and to his will. I'm going to invite our communion servers to come down. We're going to receive communion together, but here's what we're going to be doing as we receive communion together. This morning, maybe you just need to cry out to the Lord. Maybe you just need to cry out to the Lord and say, God, I don't believe these things about myself. I need you to reveal yourself to me and to help me to have faith to believe that these things are true. And as you come and receive communion today, I want you in your heart and in your head to acknowledge the saving work that Christ did for you, how much he must love you to have sacrificed himself the way he did. I want you to come face to face with that reality this morning. There may be someone here this morning and all of this is new to you. I mean, you know about Jesus. You might even know about church stuff. But there's never been a time in your life wherever you have turned your heart and your life over to Christ. And if that's you this morning, what the Lord wants for you to do is the Lord wants you to cry out to him and say, God, I need you. Please rescue me. Please forgive me. I give all that I am to you. If you would do that this morning, God will sign his name on your heart. And he'll begin a work in you that you can't even begin to imagine right now. Something so beautiful, something so amazing that you can't even begin to imagine it. But friends, also, you need to hear me. There's never been a moment in your life where you've done that, where you've acknowledged your need for God, where you've asked him to forgive you, to forgive and rescue you, if you've never surrendered your heart and your life to him, then you are not living as a Christian this morning. No matter how many times you go to church, no matter how many good things you do or how many bad things you don't do, that's not what this is about. It's about a relationship with Almighty God. It's about Almighty God creating his masterpiece in you. And that starts when we surrender ourselves to him. And maybe someone here this morning, you just need to do that. God, I need you. Please rescue me. Please forgive me. I give all that I am to you. We're going to receive communion today, the Lord's Supper, and we do it by intinction here, which basically means that when you come down, you're going to tear off a piece of bread, you're going to dip it in the cup, and you're going to eat that. And as you do that, you're remembering the sacrifice that Jesus made for you and for me. Here's what you need to know about that. Also, there's some cups here with grape juice and a wafer inside of them, if you prefer that. But here's what I need for you to know this morning. This table of the Lord's Supper belongs to him. It's not ours. And so anyone in this place this morning who has surrendered your heart and your life to Christ, anybody here this morning, you're welcome at the Lord's table. We don't control it, right? You don't have to be a member of our church. All you have to be is a person who belongs to the Lord Jesus, someone who's surrendered their heart and their life to him. And so if that's you, you're welcome to come and receive communion this morning. But as we do, let's remember the great love that Christ has for us. Let's remember the work that he desires to do in our lives. And let's surrender ourselves to whatever that is in the name of Jesus this morning. Pray with me. Father, we love you. We need you. God, I pray right now that you would help some of us to see ourselves the way that you see us. Help us to stop focusing on our brokenness and on our failure. And help us to start focusing on your mercy and your love. As we remember, God, your love for us, the sacrifice that you made for us, the victory that you won on the cross and in your resurrection, I pray that we be drawn to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray.